again, it's not elaborate videos. You don't have to be incredible at filming. You just need a good light and an iPhone. You know, you have to kind of dig in and think about those things. Any song, depending on the sound of it, you know, is it fast? Is it slow? Is it happy? Is it sad? Chances are there's some creative. It's better to have your music out there than to not have it out there. And I don't see how anyone could say that it's inauthentic to them to just sit down and play their song, cut it into pieces for the sake of making it last longer.
This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com. What's going on? Welcome to the New Music Business. I'm your host, Ari Herstand, author of How to Make It in the New Music Business, the book. Third edition is out now in all formats, audiobook, hardcover, ebook, all that good stuff. Go grab the book if you haven't yet. Today, my guest is Susie Yoder of Yo Susie. She calls it a short form vertical video content agency. Susie has worked with many major labels, indie artists, major label artists on essentially growing their TikToks. And we spent the majority of the time right now is kind of where the industry is at right now with TikTok and short form video and how it's being used. But we did get a little existential because we talked about burnout for a little while, and I pressed her pretty hard, and I have to give her mad props for hanging with me and not just running away or anything. Because, you know, there's been a lot of talk now about how artists are burning out and how it's not really cool to be posting all the time, or it doesn't look cool, or the artists don't feel cool, or whatever it is. You know, even on TikTok, I reference a Ricky Montgomery kind of rant that who is a former guest of this show, who was essentially got his major label deal with Warner Records because of TikTok, essentially ranting against artists needing to be content creators. And I pressed her on that. You know, she runs a digital marketing agency, a marketing agency that is sole focus right now, really, is vertical videos, is TikTok. And I asked her if this is fair right now for artists to have to be forced to do this. And what does she deem as success when somebody works with her? How do you gauge what success? And maybe does her version of success align with artist's version of success? So we get into all of this. This episode went on a little bit longer because we were getting into it. But if you're into marketing, I bet that you will dig this conversation that we have. And you can go check out Yo Susie at yosusie.com or on TikTok or Instagram. Susie is on both of those. You can find all of us that make the show happen at Ari's Take on TikTok, Instagram, X, Threads. Ari'sTake.com is where the email list is, so I would encourage you to get on the email list. Yes, we still find is the most effective tool at staying in touch. There's no algorithm yet that is squashing the reach of email. Actually, there is some of them on the promotions folder or anything like that. But white label us, get on the email list, and we'll let you know all the stuff about the new music business. And we'll let you know when new episodes come out. But real quick, if you just pause this episode, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Hit the follow, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit the up thumb, whatever, however you're listening to this right now. If you want this to populate your feed, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. All right, let's kick into the show. Susie Yoder, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey. Your company, where do you, you're based? Are you in Nashville? Is that what I deemed? No, where are you?
Nashville. Yeah, Nashville. So I was New York for 10 years and then made the COVID move of 2020. So now Nashville.
And why Nashville? How's Nashville been for you the last few years?
It's interesting. I mean, I had been coming to Nashville for, you know, music business stuff since like 2016. I worked remotely for a marketing firm that was based in Nashville for in between two labels I worked at. And then when I was running digital for Elektra, based in New York, we had quite a few artists at the time that were like in the Americana space, like Brandi Carlile, and would come down to Nashville for that type of stuff. And Dave Cobb had an imprint on that label that and he recorded everything out of Studio A at RCA Studios. And yeah, Nashville is awesome. I mean, I feel like it's so much more than country. I was like a little worried it would be only country, right. But there's so many artists I feel like that are moving to the area from LA and New York because of, I mean, obviously cost of living is lower and it's just like an easier lifestyle, but still has like all of the music industry events and offices and companies that you would need it to have. So yeah, cool. I was thinking about LA, but that was just as bad in 2020 as New York was. So
yeah, truth.
I went with the easier option.
So you've been running music marketing or working in music marketing, I should say, you said just now since 2016. Was it before that or was that kind of when you really kind of got
started? Yeah, my first music job, well, if you don't count, I had an internship in summer of 2010 at a PR firm, but my first like actual job started in 2011 at an indie label. In Brooklyn, that is RIP, no longer exists. It's called The End Records. We worked out of a warehouse in Bushwick before anything was there. So yeah, learned. Cool. I was just kind of your general entry level marketing coordinator.
Yeah.
And learned a ton there. Went to a digital marketing music agency from that label, but then shortly thereafter, I was working on an artist through that company that was signed to Republic Records, and then Republic ended up kind of swooping me from there. So 2012 through 2016, I was in the UMG building at Republic, went to a Nashville-based agency called Girlilla Marketing for about 10 months after Republic. And then that's when similarly Elektra kind of scooped me up from working on a client that they was signed to their label. And I was there until I decided to start my own thing last year, which has been so much fun. And yeah, the marketing space and just being creative is all I've really ever wanted to do.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Yosuzi in a little bit. I'm curious your perspective on what has shifted in music marketing the most over the last 10 years, I guess, in not just like, oh, there's TikTok now, there wasn't before. I'm thinking more like philosophically, you've worked with artists, you've worked with labels. What has been the major shift in marketing and your approach and how you work with the artists and the labels?
I mean, I know I'm not supposed to just say, well, TikTok, you know, but I think that it is, I guess it's more than just TikTok, right? Because like when in the earliest years of what I was doing, like I remember making Facebook apps that were, you know, and you know, updating people like the shift in social media and how it is consumed is like directly the same as what I could say about music marketing. It's just like, you need more easy pieces, like smaller pieces of content. Like I think like, you know, there are those key artists where people do still care to go watch a full length music video and you can do a bunch of teasers leading up to a music video for a Beyonce or for Cardi B, and, you know, just at that top tier of fandom, that works. But still, but I think that used to be, the music video used to be like the biggest, like at least online marketing piece mm-hmm. for the song. It was like the YouTube video and all the stuff leading up to it. And now I think that is a bad strategy. Now it is about more.
What's a bad strategy? Making a music video?
Just making one beautiful cinematic music video that is extremely expensive. And yeah. all you have is like clips from that. And like the BTS okay. from that, and that's all you have. Now I think that the major shift, which again, I hate to just be like, it's TikTok, because it's not just TikTok. It's Instagram changed this, Snapchat changed this. It's mm-hmm. the making more content that is probably less produced and less, mm-hmm. you know, just less time intensive to make for the sake of it, there being more volume of it, because there is so much else out there. If you are not posting, then somebody else is. So I think that's changed a lot, to the detriment, I feel like, of a lot of people, because that's not how a lot of artists' brains work, unfortunately. Right. I also would say, probably from, like, if I'm talking the span of 2011 through now, which is my main, like, my career length, mm-hmm. in 2017, 2018 is when Snapchat allowed users to create lenses, which people refer to as filters. They're really called lenses, but it's fine. And so mm-hmm. I remember in 2018 in the office at Warner Music Group, when I was with Elektra, sitting there on Lens Studio, which is Snap's program, and making lenses set to songs and then getting them uploaded on an artist like verified like Snap page, and then Snap would feature that, and then on YouTube we would start seeing people being like, came here from the filter, came here from Snapchat, came like this wow. is that song from that filter.
Yeah.
And so that's a really interesting thing that just straight up did not, the whole AR design being able to be done by a random person at a record label like I was, you know, I think that, again, it's not a magic solution to like an artist's success, but it's just a really interesting marketing tool that just straight up was, did not exist before yeah. Snapchat released Lens Studio. And now yeah. Instagram has Spark, and TikTok has Effect House. And those programs are just like an entirely new medium of marketing yeah. that straight up was not even developed in 2011. Mm. So that's a big one.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. So let's kind of come to present day. You know, a lot of the, I guess your perspective comes from, because you started in 2011, and it has been, and your marketing is mostly, pretty much everything you just talked about is just social media. And so I guess now where we're at, do you feel that social media is really the only way to market, or at least from your vantage point? I mean, your whole business is built on marketing artists from social media, but you know, is that what it is right now, is just like social media or bust?
You know, I think about this a lot, because it feels crazy to say yes, but I think that, because I think, you know, you could be Joe Schmo band and play, you know, get booked at like a local venue where you play 3-4 nights a week, and then get like a local following, and maybe to the point that some other local band that's bigger might like take you on tour. Like mm-hmm. you might be able to do that with absolutely zero internet presence, but obviously like the internet still exists. And if people like the music, it's going to be, you know, I think that it would be not impossible, but extremely difficult to even attempt a music career if you were not willing, at least willing, to have somebody else run a page for you.
Okay.
You know, yeah. or be willing to put money into internet marketing that's maybe not owned by your own channels, but like, sure. you know, because there are songs we see every day, the songs half the time that go viral on TikTok. Sometimes it's an artist that's not even on TikTok.
So was Fleetwood Mac
on TikTok?
Right. So let's get more specific now, because where you're at right now, we're talking this December 18th, 2023, the end of 2023 or mm-hmm. into 2024, where we're at right now, because the Fleetwood Mac, sure, but that was 4 years ago or whatever. We're at this point 3.5 years ago. What have you seen now, the shift in the last 3-4 years of TikTok music marketing, and where are we at right now? Because are songs are still catching without the artist involvement? And then what are artists to do with all of the information?
I think, well, there's a few questions there.
Yeah.
Can you say them again? I guess the first one I can answer right away is to say,
go for it.
Yes, songs still, December 2023, songs can still go nutso without an artist doing anything. However, it seems like more and more they are catalog tracks that are known by the public
right.
from whenever. Like, for example, like Higher by Creed. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's been like multiple little meme type moments with Higher by Creed. Scott Stapp is on TikTok, but he had nothing to do with it. You know, it was just like someone put it with a CapCut template, I believe. It was a CapCut template of a... something like a cat flying through the sky or something like with the, can you take me higher? And then everyone was doing it with their cat and that filter. So that was a couple sure. months ago. So
the
that,
trend. Yeah,
that stuff is still happening. The trend stuff with songs that where the artist did not have anything to do with it and it just happened. But I do think it's not happening for a random artist from SoundCloud. I think it's happening for like catalog tracks that at least a certain group of people knew from like the radio or like, you know, a certain time that it was sure. like a popular song. So I think maybe that's a difference.
Yeah.
But,
so, all right. So where we're at right now, what is, you know, let's talk emerging artists for a moment, because the vast majority of the people that are listening right now are not the executives at labels
exactly.
who
yeah.
are working the catalog music and want their song to be the next, you know, Dreams or whatever from Fleetwood Mac to like go crazy on TikTok. Let's talk to the emerging artists for a moment. You know, when you're brought in or you're hired by a label or an artist or something like that, what is your approach right now to help emerging artists that, let's say, they have a very, very small presence currently on TikTok, modest streaming numbers, what is an artist to do? What do you do with them?
So there's like two main things that I would do for any artist in the setting that you just mentioned. The first yep. thing is to give them which we have done together, an audit, like a full on audit of what they have been doing mm-hmm. and type it all out, make it, you know, like understandable, link them to a bunch of examples to say, as if to say like, okay, hey artist, this post that you put up last week, in my professional opinion, I think if you had done it this way, link, it could have gone further. Is that mm-hmm. a for sure? No, but is it like based on all of the stuff I have been doing for the past 3-4 years since TikTok has mattered? Yes. So the audit is kind of where we start of like just looking at what they've been doing, talking about it, you know, talking about what they are and or are not willing to do in terms of filming and posting, and then mm-hmm. coming up with stuff that they haven't done yet to suggest as like, you know, and that could be, again, it's not elaborate videos. You don't have to be incredible at filming. You just need a good light and an iPhone, you know, and you can sit there and the video can always just be you like lip syncing your song. I mean, but it's just a matter of, what are you writing on there? I think it's like I run into this time and time again with the emerging artists where it's like there's a fine line of saying what a song is about being really boring or being like way too personal that the artist doesn't necessarily want to share that. So then they say something more vague, but then it doesn't connect in that same way. So I think it's like in this audit and like suggesting of posts and text process, it's kind of like it's almost like a therapy session, right? Of like, okay, what is this song really about? Like, are you willing to say that? Or like, if there isn't a specific thing and you were just like writing about a feeling, mm-hmm. or about a situation that hasn't happened to you, but a situation you were imagining or whatever, like what, like how could we rephrase it in a way that is going to grab somebody? Or do you have a story from the recording process of this song? And like, chances are, if you have a song that's out on Spotify, chances are, right, that at some point before you released it, you played it for somebody, mm-hmm. you would think. So is there a story? Can you write on there, like, my, you know, best friend begged me to release this song, even though I didn't want to. So, blah, blah, blah. You know, is there like a story about the song that's like about the recording or the process of it that you could tell that's interesting? Like, it's just, you know, you have to kind of dig in and think about those things. Or, and if there straight up is not anything, like you wrote the happiest, sappiest love song and you have never had a problem in your life and you didn't even play it for anybody and you just put it out and you went, then you can make something up, or you can just make this is where it comes into what I was talking about before of marketing tools, like with those like filters, right? Because mm-hmm. any song, depending on the sound of it, you know, is it fast? Is it slow? Is it happy? Is it sad? Chances are there's some creative of a filter that would complement what that song sounds like. And if you pair those two things together, it can be extremely powerful. So I think that's something else for any emerging artist. I always suggest, I'm like, you know, we talk about audit, we talk about content and like how yeah. they can improve. But then it's also like, if you want my best suggestion for this one song and like, what could we do for this one song right now to give it a shot at doing, sorry, we're on a podcast. I'm shoving my arm upwards in the air at doing an upward slope in streaming, then yeah, think about a filter creative. It could be funny. It could be a game. It could be like, it could be anything. It's just what makes sense with what the song sounds like.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you mentioned, you know, writing something on the screen. Some people call these the hook. Which hook, it, not to be confused with the musical hook of the song. Right. You know, when we're talking about hooks on TikTok, that confused me for a while when I'm sitting in these marketing meetings with people are like, well, the hook of this one, we're like, what are you talking about? That's not the hook of the song. That's not even a memorable so part of the song. Or, you know, so like just to get our terminology straight, the hooks on TikTok, what you're referencing are the words that some people write on the screen, you know, that at the beginning of the video, that's like more or less the enticing part that brings it in. Is this still an important? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say correct. And I heard where you were going with that question, which is it's either you're writing something like that on there.
Yeah.
Or the lyrics are on there. If it is, you know, one of those types of lyrics where you're like, whoa, you know, like if it is a lyric that tells a story in some way, like I think there's a few artists and now I'm going to try to talk while I find this girl. Like there's a couple indie artists that have been popping up in my feed with just lyrics on screen. And the reason I think that they're doing well is because the lyrics, they're putting them like 3-4 lines at a time, because those lyrics in these songs that have been doing well are like very like kind of like tug at your heart type of like deep introspective lyrics. Plus what you're hearing in the video is it's this female singer. I'll find her. But she's at a mic with headphones on singing what sounds like, I mean, what is meant to appear as if she is recording it, but is very clearly the audio has been edited to be super crisp and reverbed and like really stand out. And she's got a unique voice. So it's the combination of all those things. And that's why I think for her, she didn't need to write a hook of text because the vocal is so strong because likely, like I said, I believe the audio had been edited after the fact and put back on. And also the lyric itself is strong in that it is, everyone thinks their lyrics are strong, right? But it's like, if it's a lyric that makes you go like, whoa, what's this about? Then it's probably a good lyric to just put on the screen. If it's more just like, you know, I love you, you love me, then you might want to think of something else you know?
Well, how do you choose? I mean, that's a good point of finding the right part of the song, because of course, you know, artists usually think that the chorus is going to be the best part of the song to focus on because it's usually the catchiest. It has the most, you know, musical hooks typically. But by the nature of just songwriting 101, choruses are typically a bit more universal, less specific sometimes. And they might not have the interesting lyrics that you're referencing. So I guess choosing the right part of the song to feature in the video is a art form in itself. How do you go about choosing the right part of the song?
It's a personal opinion, right? Because the way that I listen to music, the way that I listen to music is lyrics first.
Okay.
Like, I mean, obviously the song has to sound good, but like, I'm very much listening to lyrics. There's a lot of people that don't listen to music that way. So it's kind of, and so I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, you know, but I do think for what I'm talking about, which is like, when do you just let the lyric speak for itself typed onto the video as opposed to typing something else onto it? I think that a lot of times those lyrics are found in verses and not choruses. Mm. For example, I have a very specific example I could point to of this. A friend of mine who was a client, transparently, although she did this completely without me, her name is Shantaya. She is a country, singer songwriter, in Nashville, originally from Canada. And she had a great viral moment with her song called Damaged Goods. And it's about like kind of those stories of people you went to high school with where you thought they were going to be the star athlete, but then they broke their ankle, or you thought that someone was going to be, you know, a certain career path, and then something crazy in their life happened and they like went another way. So it's called Damaged Goods, as in like, you know, we're all a little damaged, but it's okay type thing. And her viral moment with the song and every single subsequent moment with that song was the first verse, because it was, the first verse has lines like, you know, that's Billy. He was going to be a big time quarterback, hit a patch of ice on his bike one night and put an end to all that. Mm-hmm. And then all these like little stories. But then the chorus is damaged goods. Ain't that bad. Put us together. We ain't sad. It's less lyrically interesting, but it is like the fun, you know, sing along chorus hook. But the verse is where you're like, hear this story. So for her, you know, I think, and the TikTok timestamp of that song when it was released did start right on the chorus. And I told her, I was like, you should have your distributor deliver a second audio for the song that's called, or like upload it as an original sound and rename it to like Damaged Goods verse one or something like that, so that you have both on platform, which she did, which was wise. But yeah, I think that I have found that some of the more like impactful storytelling lyrics of songs happen in the verses. So that's, I would say to not always start everything right on the chorus, but you know, the chorus is usually the part you're waiting to get to and the part you're like super proud of in a song, and you should post that too. But that it's just posting the chorus. You might be thinking of a few other things that you could say.
Yeah.
About,
so what's
the song, like I was saying before.
Right. And I guess, you know, we just had Evan Blum on the show of Evan Blum Made It. He's kind of this videographer that you've seen his videos, even if you don't know that it was him who did it. He's got a very distinct look of the videos that he creates, and famously I should say most famously, he did all the Flanna Boss videos that went crazy viral. But what he was saying, which was fascinating, is like, you know, we thought verse one was going to be the breakout part of the song. And we thought like, you know, it was biting and it was aggressive and it was great. And this was what was going to catch. And he's like, it didn't end up being the part of the song that caught. He's like, I like to think I'm pretty good at this. And I just, like, we didn't even know. And then, of course, the part that everybody latched onto, which
Hello
then
Christ. They
Hello Christ, exactly. That was the second
go at it. But
it
starts with Hello Christ. I don't remember what the first verse starts with, but Hello Christ and
not
the
that.
Pause is iconic. It's iconic.
Right.
But yeah, mm-hmm. like, I think it's totally possible that myself or you as the artist are both wrong. And like, I think it's verse one and you think it's the chorus, but it's actually verse, it's actually the bridge, you know, like I don't, so it's very much worth putting different pieces out there and just leave them as, especially if it's pre-release or actually it doesn't really matter if it's after the release. And there's a part of the song that you want to experiment with that is not in your 1 minute long clip on TikTok, then just leave it as an original sound. Just leave it as the original sound because it should map it. It'll end up saying original sound, Susie Yoder contains music from song A by Susie Yoder. Like it should do that. And if it doesn't, then I would think any distributor could help you add that tag as long as you're using the master and just another piece of the song that wasn't in that 1 minute clip. Yeah, because mm-hmm. that clip, I mean, you see original sounds that are actually other songs, you know, still take off and can.
Right. Real quick, I want to let you know about DistroKid. Well, I'm sure you already know about DistroKid, but they are partners with Ari's Take, and they are a great company that can help get your music distributed to Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, all of that. Over a million artists use DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've distributed some of my music in the past. And something I appreciate about DistroKid as not just an artist, but someone who studies this space, is they have been one of the most innovative companies over the last 10 years. They came in and completely changed the game. One of the first companies offering unlimited uploads, and now most of the other distributors have had to change their policies to kind of copy and follow suit what DistroKid was doing, and the industry had changed, of course. DistroKid doesn't keep a commission. That means you keep 100% of your royalties and earnings from the DSPs. They also offer payment splitting. They call it splits, something that for me at this point is a deal breaker. I don't want to have to cut checks to all my collaborators and the producers and everybody else that is owed royalties and owed splits from my earnings. DistroKid will cut those checks directly. You can get them to your collaborators to sign up, and then DistroKid will cut all the checks to all your collaborators. And they were one of the first to offer that of the DIY self-service distributors. DistroKid continues to innovate. Check them out. If you need to get your music out there, distrokid.com.
So,
do you find, that the approach these days is more about working directly with the artist for the artist to push their own song, or working with influencers or something to push a song, like the example you're talking about earlier where songs are going without the artist's involvement? Where do you see the majority of the effort these days being put in terms of marketing a new song?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, it obviously depends if there is a defined creative idea that either, even if the artist came up with it, and has done it a couple times on their own page. And that could be, like I said, it could be like a filter, or it could be just some like a transition moment. Like if there is a creative for the sound that it, and when I say a creative, I just mean like a specific video that has been made to that specific part of the song that is like, feels like it fits, it's natural, it's easily replicable by the average rest of the audience of TikTok. Like you could realistically see lots of people also doing this thing, whatever that may be, then that's where I think it totally makes sense to put that influencer spend on, because sometimes you just need a little gas on the fire if there's a spark already. But if there's like, if nothing is happening and the song came out yesterday, I think spending money on influencers is a terrible idea, because then it's not going to look real. And it's, there's not, if you, well, I guess, especially if you don't have a creative direction, because as we've seen on TikTok, is a copycat app. I mean, it's just something happens with the sound and then other people start doing it. So, you know, to spend money on...
Is that still what you're seeing? That's still the way that music is marketed right now, where someone does start something, does a trend, and then everybody follows that trend with the song? Is that how it's still
Well,
works?
I mean, that's how, I guess, when we're talking about like trending songs and sounds, like that is how they happen. It's usually one creative, or it can kind of split off and become multiple kind of iterations of that thing. But it's like, you know, whenever that, like Lizzie McAlpine was that last year, like Ceilings, like the running thing, you know, those things are few and far between. I don't think it would not be wise to like bank on having a moment like that, by any means. But I think that, you know, I guess I was speaking more specifically to your like influencer marketing question, because there's other ways to do that. And there's plenty of other ways to do that when it's not, if it's not like follow this one creative for a song. I mean, there are music reviewer accounts. There are like kind of pop culture accounts, or like people that have like their big independent playlists that just like talk about music. Having those people doing a small spend with some of those key creators that are actually like tastemakers in their genre is interesting. But a lot of those people, if they're very legit about it, they can't be paid to like talk about a song. So, it's kind of, but there are, I guess I'm just saying in that there's, you don't have to, your marketing for a song doesn't necessarily have to just be like, let's try to get everyone to do this one thing with the song. If your content is very strong and the song is really good, there are other avenues you can take, like those types of pages, that, you know, wouldn't be trying to like make a trend happen. It's just getting the awareness of the song. Cause obviously anytime you ask or pay an influencer to use a sound, however many people see that video, like, did they hear the song? Like, yes, they did hear it. Like, it's just, is there a funnel there after? You have to think about, you know, if it's like this one and done thing, then what happens next? So that's why I think, If it isn't a specific creative, then maybe having those types of pages that are just like talking about music or have some sort of following that people trust them for their taste in music, to try to pitch to those types of places would make sense, because then it's, you know, that clout of someone like, of why is this person listening to this artist? You know, and if it's not good, they probably won't take your money to post about it, I would think.
So, right. And so when you're working with artists where they have songs that you think are great, that are, you know, incredible songs. So it's the music isn't the problem. And the songs are objective. Well, as objective as you can be, great songs.
Right. Totally.
But maybe, all music is subjective, of course. But, you know, you really believe in it. And let's say the artist struggles a bit on knowing how to work TikTok, or at least just isn't like super bought in right now, or doesn't really understand how to do it. What is your, and we're talking emerging artists still, not the legacy artists that, you know, you have to kind of work their thing for the whatever. For the emerging artists, you know, what is your approach with them to just kind of like, how do you go about it with an emerging artist that maybe is hesitant to TikTok, doesn't quite get it, doesn't really understand. Maybe they've posted every day for 2 years and nothing's happened. And they're like, I don't get it. I can't make this work. But you hear the music, you're like, but your music's brilliant. Yes, it hasn't caught yet. What do you do?
Well, that goes back to the audit that I was speaking about before, where, yep, you know, surely if I did an audit of that artist's TikTok, surely there's a bunch of stuff that had been happening in those daily posts for the past 2 years that is not optimized in some way. So,
sure,
making that audit, walking them through it, making sure they understand it, but then also with the suggestions that I'm giving to an artist, then afterwards being like, you know, if you go forward with any of these suggestions, please screen record your draft and let me see it, you know, before it goes up, and like just at least have a couple back and forth. And again, you know, like not everyone can have a Yo Suzy on a retainer, but that is something like with those audits that are specifically for smaller artists that like I do like to say, you know, if you do these suggestions and you actually screen record the draft and you send it to me, like I will give you feedback. And if you did something, I don't want to say wrong, but like if maybe I suggested that you sing and play this one part acoustic and you did it in like an echoey room and it's all muddy sounding, like, you know, I would say like hook up a mic and do it again, or like take the audio off and put it back on, you know. Or maybe a lot of times too, like there's like a couple seconds at the beginning of any given video that doesn't need to be there. Like maybe it's just like trim a little bit off. Maybe it's the text is, there's something about it that's not as compelling as it could be, you know, all of those things. Like, you know, I like to try to follow up the audit and the suggestions with actually in like practically like looking at something someone has made with my suggestions or our suggestions, and being like, okay, that's not exactly what I meant, but like, try doing this, this, and this, and then send it back to me. Like, I want them to get it. Like, it's my biggest, like when that moment, like Shantaya, for example, like she did that post herself, and we had run her account, I believe it was January and February of 2023. And then she took it into her own hands from there. And, you know, applying stuff that we had taught her and that she had seen from when we did post on her behalf for a couple months. And when she had that moment, it's like, there's nothing better. There's no better feeling than to like watch a deserving independent artist, like learn and get it and like have one of those posts. And are they all going to be like that? No. I mean, there's so much competition. There's only so many people watching videos for as many independent artists are as posting them. But it is like, it is the most cliche thing, but it's like, it's just like a don't give up type thing, because, you know, not every one of her, I mean, she posted a lot of things that I thought were really great and didn't get a ton of views, but it's like, there's going to be something that connects and that's going to open doors. It's just, you have to keep doing it. I mean, it's like how you practice doing anything. You just keep doing it.
Yeah, but there is the burnout factor. And I'm starting to see this with artists in our new TikTok-driven industry where, yes, the common trope from, no offense, people like you, all the marketers out there, all the marketing, and I've spoken to so many of them, is just keep doing it. It's simple. Just keep doing it and eventually something's going to happen. Now we are in 3 to 4 years down the road where there have been brilliant artists by all accounts who have been keeping doing it. And now they're like, fuck this, I'm done. I am so burnt out from this. I'm literally ready to quit music. You keep telling me to keep doing this. If this is the only way forward, I've tried this now. I followed your blah, 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 blah for years. If this is the only way forward, I'm out of music. And I feel like we're getting to this tipping point as I'm seeing it, because believe me, I was an evangelist. I was like, for those of you who've been listening to this show now for the last 4 years, I, you know, I have been following this, and I was one of the most excited about what TikTok could do for the industry. As it's like, I'm seeing these indie artists pop out of nowhere and connect, and I'm like, this is so exciting. It's the democratization of music. And like, look at this. This artist was able to find an audience they might have never been able to find, and there's like no more gatekeepers and blah, 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 blah. But the problem is now that there are so many creators, and we're not even talking artists, like just creators, which is just like that artists are now having to compete with the creators don't know really how to make brilliant music, but they're still creating. Now we're competing with them. We're also competing with 120,000 songs distributed to Spotify daily. And it's kind of like, just keep posting is like the solution. Whereas like, I'm talking to artists literally every day who are like, if I have to post like this, I'm going to quit. And I feel like we're at this point now where like just telling artists to keep doing it is kind of, it's not a solution anymore because burnout is real. And artists are emotional, sensitive beings, and they are getting rejected every single time they post a video and nobody sees it. And not only are they feeling rejected, they're feeling dumb. They're feeling like embarrassed. It's like an embarrassing thing. And there's this thing going around TikTok from the artist Willow Cain saying, it's like Tom York would never be like, this is the song of the summer. Yeah, and then Ricky Montgomery did a whole diatribe, who he's been on the show, and he is an artist. Right, who came from TikTok. He had two songs blow up on TikTok, got a major label from it, and he's joining in ranting, saying, this is bullshit. Artists shouldn't have to do this anymore. And so I'm like, man, if even Ricky Montgomery is saying, like, you know, who broke out from TikTok, saying, like, this is not sustainable, and it is embarrassing, and artists that come from TikTok now have a stink on them. I'm just like, whoa. Like, I'm curious what you're seeing and what your perspective is. And I understand this is challenging your entire business model, but like, I'm here to say, and you just happen to, yeah.
I don't care.
I
changed my business model based on what the needs are. Right now, it seems like this is the need. Also the filters, because not a lot of people know how to make AR designs. But
okay.
Look, I mean, I think, when I said just now, well, 2 minutes ago, probably at this point, when I said keep doing it, I didn't mean keep posting every day and burning yourself out just because eventually something will happen. I meant when I say keep doing it, I mean keep trying new things, keep changing what you're doing and tweaking what you're doing if you are not connecting. Because I think if someone really was for 3-4 years posting, maybe not even every day, every other day, like, and they're getting 200-300 views, then like something's wrong. Like, and like, I don't want to say like, and again, I guess if we're going under the assumption that the music is incredible, because obviously a lot of the times it's just that maybe the song that you were so sure of, like, isn't the song, but let's just run under the assumption that the song couldn't be better by anyone else's account, but you're getting 200, 300 views and you're posting every other day, then there's something else wrong. Like either, you know, you're not giving TikTok enough information in the text that you're writing on the screen or captioning it, that they have no idea who to show it to. And you're a singer songwriter and your videos keep getting shown to like 14-year-old hip hop fans in the Bronx, and they don't care, you know, like you're just like doing something wrong. Like from a technical standpoint, you know, that could have to do with text. It could have to do with the videos themselves. Like, and again, like I would contradict myself in saying that, because not everything has to be beautifully well lit. Meg Maroney in the early days of her TikTok, like some of her, like big posts. I mean, she's playing an acoustic guitar with the lyrics on the screen in a dark room, and the video is grainy and dark, and it's a phone video. Yeah. That's like not a good quality video at all, but it's the combination of her singing and the song lyrics and all that stuff. So it's like, you know, and I actually don't know if she was editing her audio on those videos and putting it back on. I'm guessing not, but it could have been. But yeah, I think there's just like, if the song is incredible and no one is reacting to it from months, if not years, of consistent posting, it's just like something is wrong that needs to be tweaked. Like, of course, don't burn yourself out on something that's not working. Like, that's like what the definition of insanity, like doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. What I meant by keep going or keep doing it is keep changing your approach until something works. Because once you have something that works, you can hone in on whether it's, you know, with Shantaya, it was that verse of that song. And it was like, oh, crap, like, let me make some more posts with this verse of this song. And that spiraled into a whole bunch of other stuff. She got a singles deal with the UMG Canada from after that. You know, like, it is keep trying different things. Definitely don't burn yourself out just doing the same video with similar text over and over and getting frustrated. That is absolutely not the answer. And another thing about burnout, I would say, is to try to not like be on there every day either. I mean, like, I'm a big proponent of batching content and drafts and just like, you know, and again, this is like me, this is under the assumption that you would have someone to post for you. I guess most independent artists don't. So what I could say is that my best advice would be like, put, you know, carve out a Sunday and, you know, just, or whatever cadence you want to do, and just try to batch, like, just make a bunch of drafts that you like, and then don't think about, and then put them up every other day or every third day or whatever. And then just don't think about it for another month or two. Like, because if you're doing 3-4 posts a week, you know, you could realistically make all of those in an afternoon. I mean, they don't have to be more than 15 seconds long, you know, like, but to kind of, to batch stuff. And then all you have to do, even if you are like, I never want to look at my phone screen ever again, all you have to do is like roll over in your bed and open it, click on a draft and hit post and roll back over for like a month or even 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, and the, obviously the bigger team you have, the more support you would have with editing and, or someone actually posting on your behalf. Obviously if you're on like a major label, they're going to have people that can help with more stuff. Or, you know, if you happen to have a manager that loves TikTok and they're going to do it for you, you know, like everybody has different levels of support. But if it is just you, like, and you are feeling tired, I mean, it is like you think of all those different things that you haven't tried yet, like knock them all out in a day and then just don't think about it again for a month. But you still have to post.
Yeah, no. So sure. That. No, I mean, batching can. Yeah. Batching can be very helpful. How do you determine success with these strategies? What do you define as a successful campaign when you're working with an artist or an artist team, or just success in general for music marketing?
I don't like this question because I think that it's, I hate putting like a, and it's so hard to put like a quantifiable, like a metric of like, okay, if we grow by X percent, then this is a success. I've never been, and my business partner, like obviously like he is way more business minded than me and like looks at, you know, KPIs of things and puts numbers on things. And like, that's not how my brain works. Like I'm a creative, okay. I'm not an artist, but like I'm a creative person too. And like, I think that to me, success is like for what I do and like making, helping artists make their TikTok content and or creating filters to support certain songs, etc. I think for me, what is a success or not is like, did more people connect with this song / artist because of what we did here? Yes or no? And like, that's the thing. It's like, if your answer could be yes, and it could be like 5 people, that could feel like a big failure to some people, you know, it's like, but to me, I'm just like, if you touched another human being with your song that left you a comment that was like, oh my God, I needed a song like this, like, to me, that's a success. But like, I understand that it's not going to make a successful career of your music for one person to leave you a nice comment. But I think it's just, you know, what is, I guess, there's so many different goals of campaigns that, like, if I had to be forced to say what's a quantifiable success, for example, like a filter, right? There's so many. I have created filters that have millions of uses. I have created filters that have hundreds of uses. So, you know, if a filter gets 20,000 uses, is that a success or not? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, that's up to... the client, I guess, if they consider that a success.
I'm sure you have these conversations with clients, though, who hire you, because if, you know, your agency gets hired for, let's say, a multi-month campaign, and I don't know if you want to reveal how much your campaigns typically cost, but most agencies are thousands of dollars a month, you know, and, you know, I've seen anywhere from $2,000 to $7,000 a month or something like that for a comprehensive hands-on campaign, whatever. I think if after 3-4 months of, let's just say, $5,000 a month, that's $20,000. If we've touched only 5 people and you say that's a success, I think the label of the artist would be like, I don't think that was worth $20,000.
Yeah, no,
totally. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's why I don't work like that. So like, I'm not like, and I can't, I do have clients that I have that have stayed on monthly, but those are artists, which I cannot say that I am actually like posting to their account, and were it not for me, they would have no TikTok presence. So like, that is worth what it's worth. Even if the posts aren't all doing amazing, it's just like the fact that a TikTok account exists and is being kept up and the content on it is solid and a lot of it does do well and some of it doesn't, like, that is a success for those clients because it's just about them having a TikTok account. But I'm not like, that's not, so Yo Suzy is way more of like kind of, I don't want to say one-off, because people come back and back and back again for song and project, you know, after back to back for the same artist. But we like to be kind of like, you know, solution oriented, of like more of like the audit. Like, you're like, if you're at that level and you're like, I just need help like making this stuff a little bit better, and it's like, well, then let's just start there, and this is going to be a low price point, and I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to make sure you understand all of my suggestions, and then you're going to like go do it, and you know, if you want to send me drafts to review, like, we can do that. But again, like, it's not, I'm not having people on paying thousands and thousands of dollars, like month after month, with that they couldn't point to a return. And a lot of the projects I've been working on that include creative ideation and filter build and those things are being bundled together with my business partners at Preffy and at Songfluencer, where, I mean, there's usually kind of, at least from, because they're having actual creators use these songs and or filters too. So like the kind of overall impact is easier to see on paper. But yeah, I mean, I think that I would understand people needing a more defined, you know, measure of success. If it's like something where it's like, Suzy is going to tell us exactly what to post on TikTok for the next 3 months, and then like nothing happens, like, yeah, like that would suck. I would agree. But I try to not run my stuff that way, because I'm trying to be, I don't want to take people's money and then something doesn't work. I'm like, let me do the, you know, let's start with the, with what is needed. Is it like you have a song coming out and you just absolutely can't think of anything? Then like, maybe we just do ideation and we're just like, you know, we give you 20 ideas and like, yeah, if zero of those 20 ideas do anything for you, then like that's a failure for sure. But that's it's unlikely. Right. I guess. Sorry. That was like a rambling answer. I just like, it's so hard to say what is a success, quote unquote, when I don't run that, like the goal of my offerings oftentimes are just like for one solution of a thing. Like, hey, this TikTok isn't doing anything. How do we make it better? Like, let's fix it. Or like, we need ideas for this song, yeah. or we need a filter for this one song. We need more people to use this song. And like, how many more people, you know?
Yeah, right. And I'm, you know, I guess like where this question's coming from is primarily, if you really zoom out and think about what are artists actually going for? No artist that I know of cares how many TikTok views, followers, and their whole point of existence has nothing to do with TikTok. That's just a means currently of the era that we're in right now. Artists' actual goals are to build long-term sustainable careers and build and get fans. Right now, TikTok is just a way that they're going to do it. If TikTok dies tomorrow, it doesn't mean that like their world it's like, you know, artists, if we really think about what the artist goals are, it's like artists want more fans, more streams, because that's where people are listening right now. That's what's paying them right now. And they want more people to come to their shows. And so like,
and I think that's why I said that. Sorry. But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's why I said like, for some artists, like getting 5 comments of people that like had never heard of them before. And then all of a sudden are connecting, like, that would be like the beginning of something pointing to a success in that. And the reason I specifically said a comment is because of exactly that. It's like, it's not just about a song getting used. It's about like, did you touch somebody? Like, is somebody like, whoa, like, I like you. I'm going to go and actually tap your profile, which you can see in your analytics, which I appreciate on TikTok. You can see profile views is a very important metric, because if someone is actually like, who is this? You know, how did I not know about this artist? You know, you're going to find out that sentiment from how many people are visiting your profile after they saw a video, is a really interesting metric to look at. And that is, you know, again, that's where you can have a link. That's where you can have a link to, you can like seamlessly have that Instagram or YouTube icon at the top. And, you know, I mean, yeah, the ultimate, I guess that is for sure. Like the ultimate TikTok success is that people leave TikTok and go follow you elsewhere. But to do that, you know, it's going to, the first step in that is getting those 5 people to start commenting and being like, oh my God, you did it again. Now I love this song. Now I'm going to send this video to my friend. And you know, it's like, it always starts with the beginning. I understand what you're saying. And that is what I meant by that. Those 5 people is like, not just like 5 people on TikTok used a song, but that they actually connected and care because of what you put on TikTok. Yeah. That is the point. And again, like with stuff that's a little less personal, like the filters, making a filter that's just like a silly filter that goes with one song. Like, is that like a strategy that's going to get someone to deeply care about an artist? No, that's a strategy to get people to hear a song a bunch of times. Right. And the ultimate goal being they like the song. They keep hearing it because people keep doing this filter in their feed. And then finally they're like, what is this song? And then they go on Spotify. Like that is the point of those. And it's a little less personal and it's a little more marketing-y. And I understand that. And that's why not everybody cares to make them. Yes, I definitely, I see what you're saying. I mean, it sucks. I mean, like I don't envy the spot that artists are in, but at the same time, you know, I think it is like, it's just the age old, like complaining that you want things to be the way they quote unquote used to be. It's just like, there's no point in being that type of voice. But I'm definitely not negating the sentiment of like the Ricky Montgomerys and all of these posts that have been popping up, of which I do see them all and agree, you know, of like, but the thing with the Tom York thing, you know, what's interesting to me is like talking about, you know, what would he have done? He never would have been like, is this the song of the summer? Like, it's funny, but at the same time, like, and you know, we can't say what Radiohead would have done if they formed in 2023. Like, we don't know. That's a ridiculous question to try to answer. But like, I do think they would have a TikTok presence, and maybe it would just be weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be weird. Maybe it would be a series of like weird little mini art films with sets of the music, and people would be like, what the hell is this? And the first year they do only get 100 views, you know, like, I don't know, but I think that they would have one because it's just like, that's what's happening now. It's like, unfortunate.
But, or the flip side is, or they have people telling them that they have to make their TikToks like everybody else, and they're like, fine, I'll do it. And then it makes them look really uncool. And then there is no Radiohead. And then we never hear of Radiohead. I think that's the fear of every artist right now.
I worry about that.
It's the fear of every artist because there are... What's that?
I put a tweet up. I don't remember when this was. I was just like, why aren't there like silly bands anymore? Like the B-52s. Like, because like they're like the B-52s, like in like are the type of sound where you're like, this is insane. What am I listening to? And I feel like no one is willing to be that like silly, like now. And like, I think that's maybe a product of exactly what you just said. And it is interesting, but I, you know, I think that it, all TikTok is a place where you post videos. And I don't really, I don't know of many artists or bands who are unwilling to shoot a music video. So
yeah,
that's kind of what I come back to when it's like, it gets into this, what if, and also like, oh, someone would have told Radiohead to do what all the other bands do, and then they would have never been cool and it never would have happened. Then it's like, well, all like all you do on TikTok is you post videos and you put text on those videos that informs the algorithm of like what is in that video if it can't already tell. So, you know, it doesn't, your videos don't have to look like everybody else's. It's easy for me to say like sit there and lip sync your songs. That's the easiest thing you could do. But like, it doesn't have to be that. There's songs that, you know, there's plenty of accounts that are just drone footage of like meadows set to like slowed down reverb sounds. Like, you know, like you can do whatever, like do, you know, it's just like, if you were ever willing to make a music video, you should not be unwilling to make a TikTok. I think that's totally unfair. If you are someone who is like, I will never be on camera and I will never make a music video, then maybe, yeah, maybe you should, maybe TikTok.
I mean, I hear that and I support that. I think it's easier said than understood by artists because there's a different intention. Creating a music video is a full-fledged piece of art, just like making an album or making a song. And I get that. And I know that there are probably artists in the 80s that were like, why do I have to make music videos? The songs should speak for themselves. And I get that. But, you know, now it's not like... There are artists that are unwilling to make music video or unwilling to make TikToks, but they're willing to make music videos. Making a music video it has a very different intention. And making TikToks, it's like, you know, we're saying you have to make 15-second clips, you know, multiple, like that enough to post every single day or every other day or whatever it is. It's just a very different intention because it's also like we're gamifying this. It's like it's not just about let's make beautiful art, you know, 15-second pieces of art to post. It's we've been talking this whole time about strategy. It's like, well, what's the hook and what part of the song? And like the things that I and you understand is just kind of like, all right, it's just a game, it's whatever. But for artists, it's this like deeply personal thing that's like this is them, their entire identity and their art and their entire essence of who they are, that you're trying to wrap up into like a little 15-second clip that is hopefully going to go viral or reach a bunch of people and then have to do that over and over again. Whereas like it is, that's as far away from art as you get. And when you, and that is full into marketing. And like we're expecting artists to be their own marketers right now, which I think is a bit unfair. It's not just about, well, aren't you willing to shoot a music video? Well, then just do that, but 1,000 times in 15-second little intervals on and post it on TikTok.
But it's not. But like that's such a negative way to think about it, right? I mean, like, because if how is it inauthentic to post yourself performing your music? I mean, I guess it is easier. In some ways, it is easier for solo artists than bands, I think, on some level, because you can sit there. If your music lends itself to being played on like an acoustic guitar or a piano, that does help you in some ways. But like, who's to say you can't just perform in whatever perform means to you? Perform three of your songs mix the audio on them well, and just cut those up into pieces. Like, at the very, very least, just do that, you know, because again, are some of those clips going to have, like I was saying, maybe more of like punch you in the stomach, like, oh my God, like lyric that is going to connect with people more than other parts of the song? Like, yeah, but does every TikTok on anybody's page like go off? Like, no. I mean, I think it's just, it's better to have your music out there than to not have it out there. And I don't see how anyone could say that it's inauthentic to them to just sit down and play their song and then like cut it into pieces for the sake of making it last longer as individual posts. You know, like I get it that like not every TikTok can be a thought out piece of art, like a music video. Like, that would be insane. But like, you know, it just doesn't have to be like, I feel like it doesn't have to be such a chore if you are able to perform your songs on camera in a way that sounds good. Like, and if that entails being mic'd up and feeding into somewhere and like I said, like professionally messing with the audio before you put it back on the video. Like, and I will find this girl. I don't want to spend my minutes right here scrolling TikTok in front of you, but there, okay. You know, it's just, she has been popping up on my feed all the time because I always watch her videos and engage. And all she is doing is sitting there and singing into this mic with her lyrics on the screen. And most of the time she doesn't even put a hook on there. And these videos, they're kind of like dimly lit. She's got like a purple kind of LED light in her room that's always like kind of purple looking, but like there's no way. I mean, it couldn't be more authentic in that all she's doing is just singing her own songs. She's got a beautiful voice and the lyrics are interesting and it's connecting because it's great. You know,
Have you listened to any of her songs off platform?
No.
Yeah. And you don't even remember her name. So I guess this is a case in point right now of just kind of like, what is the point?
Well, the point is that I followed her. And the point is that the next time, she hasn't posted anything about releasing anything. Like, all I have seen in my feed are these posts with the lyrics and just her voice. But if I get in my feed a post where she's like, this song is out, like, I'm going to pay attention because I've been following her journey. I don't even know if she has anything released actually at the moment. And maybe that's why, but you know, it's what you, and that's what I was saying too, about like the funnel of like maybe five people connect with a song and you keep making stuff with that song to keep hitting those people and, you know, keep, I don't want to say keep doing it, but you know, like just
no, I get it.
Stay connected to the people that are connecting with you, because that's exactly what's happened with me and this girl who's, I have her favorited 100 times.
Yeah.
But all I've seen is these videos with just her lyrics and singing. So she needs to post something that says this song is out and I will go click on it. Or if she says there's a pre-save link or something, I would have clicked on it, but she hasn't. So, you know, that is part of that funnel for sure.
Yeah.
I understand the hypocrisy of not remembering her name in this context, but yes, I think it is. Once you have that audience there, you do need to make them aware of leaving the platform and doing something if they care.
Yeah. Well, Susie, thank you for engaging in this conversation with me, because I know it's you caught me at an interesting time where I've just been hearing from artists all over the place and now in my feed and from previous guests we've had that we're kind of nearing this point. And so I'm very grateful that you have been so willing to participate in this conversation. And you bring a lot of wisdom that you know, of this new music business and where we're at right now. And, you know, I, as, The final question that I ask everybody, and I don't want to keep grilling you here anymore about you know this existential crisis that artists are going through right now, and expecting that you're going to have the point of truth and clarity right now for every single artist. That's not really what we're getting at, but I think it's an important conversation that people are having, and I do want marketers like yourself to know that this is something, a reality that is happening in the artist community, and I empathize with the artists that are going through this, and as I'm sure you do too, and it's been devastating for me to see so many brilliant artists who I think are brilliant not connecting through this medium and this platform now with all the promise and hope that it has brought, and I'm running out of things to say to them, as I've learned from the best, like yourself, as I've been having these conversations, and I've been hiring marketing agencies, and I've been working with, various artists and other agencies. And it's like, if the best of the best can't make brilliant music connect, that's where we get back to this, like, would Radiohead have actually existed today? I'm not as certain anymore. So this brings me to my final question, because we do have to wrap it up, which is, what does it mean to you to make it in the new music business?
So I saw that you were going to ask this question, and then I had a follow-up question for you, which should clarify things. When you say, what does it mean to you to make it in the music business, do you mean me as a music business professional to feel like I have made it, or for an artist to make it?
However you want to take that. It's your perspective and point of view. People have gone both ways. So if you want to take it as, let's go as a music business professional. And for you, what does it mean to make it?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you was italicized, I believe. So yes, I think, if I have, which it seems I have very gratefully gotten to a place where an artist at any level or an artist's team of any level trusts me personally, me, Susie, to not only come up with, I mean, maybe it is just come up with ideas, but oftentimes come up with and execute ideas on behalf of, again, this could be an artist with 1,000 followers and an artist with 10 million followers. But I think to me, I feel that I have, quote unquote, made it, not because of how many people I know or money or, how many plaques I have on my wall. Like, it's nothing about, or like how many, songs I've worked on that have gone platinum. I don't care about any of that. I care about the fact that artists and their teams trust me because of the advice I have given to other artists before them that has worked and connected, whether it is for the artist to connect with more people as a whole or for like one specific song to go further, because of an idea that like came out of like my brain that they trusted, even if they didn't fully understand it, that they were like, I see how much you think this is a good idea and like, let's try it. And then it actually works. Like to me, like, and so in that sense, like, I guess I could say like, I already have like, felt like I have made it in that I am so thankful for like the trust that has been put in me by big and small teams and the, big success stories that I have to point to. I mean, like not all of them are, but the ones that I have, I'm very proud of. And if someone told me tomorrow, like, hey, I'm in control of your life now and you can't work in music anymore and you're going to go work at a bank, like I would be sad, but I'd be like, definitely feel like I had like made an impact. And again, I think it's just that trust, because trust is hard. I mean, it's easy to trust someone at first, but it's hard to keep that trust. So the fact that, I've managed to do this for this long and have people come back to me time and time again and you know, care about my opinion. And like, also like the happiness that like I feel on their behalf when something succeeds, like, I don't want the credit. I mean, like, I'm like, you know, I'm thrilled when something connects because I'm thrilled for that artist and I'm thrilled for that team. It's not like, go me. I'm just like, hell yeah, we did that. You did that. Your song did that. Your music did that. You know, you just needed an outside perspective for a few minutes to like spark something. But you know, it comes back to the music always. And I have great respect for musicians. So to be trusted with their art is super meaningful to me.
Susie, thank you so much. It's great.
Thank you.
Today's episode was edited by Mikey Evans with music by Brassroots District and produced by all the great people at Ari's Take. This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com.